Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast.
We've got a new Star Wars trailer. Aaron Alvarado, how you doing?
Oh man, David, it's good to be back. This Star Wars trailer is blowing my mind. But before we get on Star Wars, there's something I'd like to take a minute and we need to go over something.
Yeah, this needs to be addressed.
This is important. Mm-hmm. We laid somebody to rest this past weekend.
We did.
It's actually not a person. It was the hopes and dreams of a person. And that would be the political aspirations of Ben Affleck. Those were laid to rest this past weekend when he was caught up in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein.
It's not unlike an earthquake scandal. And an aftershock.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding. And he definitely took Ben down with him. Matt Damon has gone kicking and screaming, gone along for the ride. I don't know if you read the story. There was the editor of The Wrap. She worked for, I think it was the New York Times or the Post. And she had a story basically nixed by the New York Times. I'm pretty sure it was the Times. She had a story about an Italian producer that worked for Harvey. And the guy had no film background whatsoever. Basically, he was Harvey's Italian pimp, is what it was. So when Harvey went over to Italy, this guy would arrange his meetings with certain women. And the way that Matt Damon got involved is Matt Damon and George Clooney were both employed by Miramax to run interference on this. They actually called this reporter and said that they vouched for this producer and said that he was very knowledgeable about film, and he was integral in making whatever movies he was involved in. So
do you believe this report?
I believe it. I totally believe it. This is what they do. These people, I mean, they insulate themselves. So yeah, Clooney and Matt Damon were sucked into its wake, but Ben Affleck has taken a beating, an absolute beating on Twitter today.
I don't know that Ben Affleck has the same political aspirations as his friend George Clooney.
Right. Well, Clooney disavowed right away. Ben.
Oh, yeah. So did Ruffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, they have to.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing about when someone as big as Harvey Weinstein goes down. I mean, he has so many tentacles and so many careers.
That's how he's gotten away with this for so long.
Exactly. Exactly. The amount of power that he's had. He's a disgusting individual, and
yes,
and there's been rumors about, you know, the way that he treats people, first of all, like scum, basically. Even Kevin Smith came out and said, he's disgusted by the story, and he believes all the women, and you know, yada yada. The one voice that hasn't made any comment, from what I can tell, is
the president of the United States.
Well, his buddy, yeah, they're buddies.
They're both Democratic donors.
Mm-hmm. And those guys pulled a London Bridge on some unsuspecting intern, probably. No, it was Tarantino.
Oh, does Tarantino need to say something?
Of course he does. He is like best friends with the Weinsteins.
He's really close. Weinstein's funded all of his movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he made Miramax, and then obviously the Weinstein group.
I've got some news for you. Tarantino's not saying anything.
He will never.
He won't say anything.
No, he's not. So, and that's pretty disappointing. I mean, even the Obamas and Clinton finally came out after days and days of people saying, when are you guys going to disavow this guy?
Oh, yeah.
They finally came out. So
Obama's daughter did an internship at the Weinstein Company.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they were close.
Yeah, again, these are the tentacles that this man had because he was so influential, so powerful. I mean, it didn't just go to movies. I mean, we're talking political ties, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. So. I mean, look, the Oscars are considered the most prestigious award in film, and this man famously...
I mean, they used to be.
Yeah, exactly. The Golden Globes right now they're coming on up.
Independent Spirit Awards. That's the only one I care about.
Or Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice. Yeah, surfboard, that bucket of popcorn, whatever. I mean, Weinstein, is, these stories are famous about him browbeating Academy voters into voting for his films to the point that he pulled off this miraculous win with the with Shakespeare in Love winning Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan, which is insane.
Yeah, like, it makes no sense.
It shocked the world. And he's had other wins like that, not quite as surprising, but just, you know, that's what he does. He's a bully. When this news broke, when I saw the New York Times headline, it was like the least surprising news of 2017, honestly.
It's, of course, it's very disappointing, and you hope that that everyone involved can find some peace, or, you know, maybe some healing now that this is all out in the open. But
I can't,
it's really
imagine.
A terrible story.
I really can't imagine the people, you know, specifically the women that were wanting to get into an impossible industry. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're in that situation where you can't say a word, or your career or any potential of a career is over. And right. So, you know, understandably, they don't say a word. Right.
Right.
And that's just so difficult.
Of course. I can't even imagine what that's like, obviously. But right. I think that it's kind of interesting and telling. I don't want to say it's funny. It's interesting that, you know, typically when a woman comes out or a group of women come out against someone like this, that's powerful, there's always a reaction that says, there's no proof. Where's the proof?
Yes.
Or they're after everyone knows how disgusting and despicable this Harvey was, and how filthy the Hollywood industry is, especially to young, impressionable women. So, I mean, there's no one has basically said, do we know that this actually happened? Where's the proof? I mean, everyone just understands that it happened.
Yeah.
So, very sad. Yeah. But yes, rest in peace, Ben Affleck, the future politician.
You know,
did you watch the video, by the way, that I sent you about the interview that
of the TRL?
No, what it's an interview he did with some sort of Montreal like cable station, and he's getting very handsy with the
interview.
Right.
That's right. He was accused of groping. Would you call it groping?
Oh yeah, I mean they look like they were doing foreplay basically. Okay. So. Wow. I mean, she said she was cool with it, so I mean, I'm not gonna tell her how to feel, but it's very inappropriate.
Yeah, it's unprofessional at the very least. That's hard. Look, you're a big Ben Affleck fan. This is tough.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is. Ben Affleck, the director.
Exactly. I'm gonna draw the line there. I only support his directing work.
Look, you're used to doing this already with Polanski and Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah. I would never call myself a Polanski fan. I barely call myself a Woody Allen fan because, again, he's deplorable. But funny enough, Hollywood has protected those two
since
the beginning.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you have enough talent, if you're funny and if you're a Woody Allen talent, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, right? You get away with it.
It's true. It's obvious. So, so in a lot of ways, this was something that was long overdue, and I'm sure this is not the end of it. We're going to hear about more stories like this, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, but hopefully some good will come out of this.
I can't imagine what the good would be.
No, I mean like shining a light.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Like, I mean, what's good. The good that comes out of this is the idea that like people are becoming more, they have the courage to stand up to this or speak out on passes, like that type of, right? Like,
well, yeah, I'm looking at Terry Crews and what's his name?
Rob Schneider. Oh, man. I believe one of them, I think. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Rob Schneider's story is actually pretty funny. He laughed about it.
I didn't even read it.
So.
I only read Terry Crews.
Terry Crews is just, that's an odd story in itself. I don't know.
Yeah, it's odd and disgusting and terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's not odd, disgusting, or terrible, though?
What's that?
This new Star Wars trailer.
Oh, nice segue.
Did you like that?
Yeah. Way to pull us out of a tailspin, a serious tailspin.
I know. I was going to say, I was ready to move on past Harvey and go to Bob Weinstein, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob is a saint. Everyone knows that.
Well, that's the thing. Bob's never... Yeah, exactly.
I think Bob has never actually had sex. So. Yeah. He's celibate. He's voluntary.
Hey, you're in LA. You're the LA insider, not me. I can sling all the Sacramento gossip.
Tell me about Colin Hanks.
So, Colin. Hey, look, Brie Larson.
I'm familiar with her work.
Yes, Academy Award winner from Room.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with The Room. I almost said that. Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
From Sacramento. Both of them. Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers from the general Sacramento area. All right, I'm done doing that.
No, there's my favorite actress is actually from the area.
Who is that?
You probably aren't familiar with her work.
Uh-oh, don't do it.
Sasha Grey is... Oh.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. For all our friends...
I'm guessing it's an adult film star.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very famous.
I can tell by your sly smile.
She was a crossover, actually. A crossover star.
Oh, okay.
She was in the Entourage series.
Okay. So legitimate.
She made a movie with Steven Soderbergh where she starred in it. It's pretty interesting.
Was that Magic Mike?
No. <I'm
just kidding. laughs> So I don't know where you were when this trailer dropped, but I was at a Kings game, a preseason game, might I add, against the Trailblazers. And I figured, look, it's going to drop Monday Night Football. I'll be at the basketball game when the trailer drops. I'll get home and watch it on my Apple TV. But you know what? I couldn't do it. I had my Apple AirPods with me. I went to a bathroom. and weirdly, one of the small stalls.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it gets worse. So small bathroom. There's only two urinals and one stall, right?
Oh, those are great.
Handicap stall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, how is this an arena bathroom? I mean, everything else about the Golden 1 Center, the Kings new arena, is state of the art. But like, I think I must have skipped over the big bathroom and I get to the small one. So I go into the stall quickly. I put my earbuds in, try to block out the noise, did a pretty good job. And I start watching on their surprisingly fast Wi-Fi network. Very technically state-of-the-art arena. And so I'm watching it, okay? And I watch it over and over. And what I don't realize is that there is a gentleman who needs the disabled stall. And he starts knocking.
Oh.
And I don't hear it because I got my earbuds in, and I'm just zeroed in on this Last Jedi trailer. And I went through about four watch-throughs. And until it was getting loud enough, this pounding.
And then I
look up and he can see me through the crack watching something on my phone, which is why I think he felt like he could actually pound, you know, actually like be like, get out of there. Like, I gotta go. And I'm in a wheelchair. And he's like, I've got to use this stall. And I'm like, I'm not even, this slid's down. I'm sitting on top of it watching a Star Wars. It was like one of the more humiliating walks I've had to make in my life, from that toilet to the, I didn't even obviously wash my hands. I didn't need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I should have for my terrible act, but.
Oh, that's bad. That is so, so
dude,
bad.
Dude, opening that up, it was wasn't even the look of like, you're using the handicap stall and you don't need to. It was like, you're not even going to the bathroom. Like, you were watching something on your phone. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that he looked between the cracks.
Oh, absolutely did. Yeah. Well, because he was waiting for a while, you know? And he's like, what is going on? And then he looks through the crack and he's like, oh, it's just some dude watching stuff on his phone. He's watching a trailer, a Star Wars trailer.
I kind of wish that he would have been cooler about it and asked for one of the pods. And so you guys could have watched it together.
No, I would have loved it if he would have been like, hey, I got a Snoke theory. I think I know who he is. Just pull up a seat. I'm like, okay. No, it was actually terribly embarrassing.
That's really bad. Oof,
man. But the good news is I liked the trailer. I'm curious to get your overall thoughts here. I was such a big fan of the Last Jedi teaser trailer. And I will say right now, I still like the teaser trailer more than this one. And we'll go into maybe those reasons. But like overall, to me, not the best Star Wars trailer, but a solid trailer. What did you think?
I agree with you 100%. It's a good trailer. It leaves you wanting more. It poses a lot of questions, and I think it gives you definitely more than we've seen before, obviously. But I think it wasn't as effective as that teaser. The teaser is incredible. I mean, it's one of the all-time great teasers. This trailer is much more standard. You have the great, you know, driving music. You have all the epic shots that are included.
Yeah.
lots of lightsabers and force powers and stuff like that. Of course, you have the cool narration in the beginning. So it's very standard, I would say, paint-by-numbers trailer.
Yeah, no, it is.
Whereas the teasers, I mean, the teaser was just so juicy.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was incredible.
It's a great trailer.
Yeah.
Yes, I would. I think you describe it really well by saying paint-by-numbers. It's paint-by-numbers. It's exciting because it's Star Wars imagery. Mm-hmm. And there are some shots in here that are incredible. And we're going to do kind of a scene-by-scene, a shot-by-shot breakdown here in just a second. But yeah, it was paint-by-numbers, including the fact that there are some obvious misdirects in this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are familiar with this. You watch a trailer for a movie, and there'll be a clip of like a character asking a question, and then it cuts to an answer from someone else that's not even speaking to that character or answering that question, but they kind of tie in these audio clips, oftentimes because the director and editor have no say in like the trailer cutting process. And I think Rian Johnson has a little bit more say than the average person does, but like he doesn't have final cut on this thing. It's not like, you know, he can, you know, he's very much part of the process, but right. it isn't totally up to him. There is some serious misdirections going on here, and we will get to that in our breakdown. And before we start with the first frame, though, I just want to start with the question: what was your favorite shot or moment of this trailer?
I don't think that I have one favorite moment. What I have is any time that Luke Skywalker is on the screen, I just smile.
Yeah,
because he looks incredible. It takes me right back. It makes me just want to know everything about his past or his journey, basically. And it makes it feel like a Star Wars movie for me. You know, obviously it's a Star Wars movie. We saw the last one and all that stuff is great. But when you see Luke Skywalker on the screen, and he's looking old and he's looking like, it's the end of the line for him, probably. It just gets me so excited. So anytime Luke is on the screen, I'm sold 100%.
You know, me too. And part of it is we didn't get him in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That's the parts that literally like kind of made my heart skip. Like, it sounds really cheesy. Are the two lines that we got from him. He's the one line where he says, "I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now." And you're getting like, if we're honest with ourselves, Mark Hamill, the 18-year-old Mark Hamill or 19-year-old or whatever in the original ones, not like a great actor.
No.
Like, he was serviceable. He was fine for the role of Luke. And I really like Mark Hamill a lot. But there's a reason why he didn't have like a huge career in dramatic acting. Thankfully, he did have a career doing voice acting and other things. But what we're getting here is a more mature, a more steadied Mark Hamill as an actor. And he is like just these shots, the way he's emoting, the way he's speaking.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's got a presence that he definitely didn't have in the original series. He tried. His character had a presence in the original trilogy. Sure. But now when you see him on screen, he has like real weight to him. Really interesting. And I can't wait to see what he does. Hopefully he gets some more screen time in this one.
Well, in that couldn't second get less. Line, which we'll also get to, because this is kind of the theme, not of only this trailer, but of all of the marketing around The Last Jedi, comes from his second line in the trailer, which is, "This is not going to go the way you think." Now, this is really fascinating to me because The Force Awakens, all of the marketing, and what's fascinating to me is, I'll say with Disney, is that marketing to them isn't just the trailers, the merchandise, the posters, the, you know, whatever, all the commercials and snippets. It's literally their planned release of information and what the actors say in interviews. It is unbelievable how much of this is controlled. Like, if you go back and watch J.J. Abrams in interviews and other people, count how many times they mention something about using practical effects over CGI in Force Awakens. It was like all, like, they did a whole video, behind the scenes video, about practical effects. Look at the puppets. Look at the practical effects. We're only using CGI to supplement where we have to use it. But it's so much practical effects. It's like Disney knew people hated the prequels, partly because it like looked really shiny and it was all CGI, and we wanted this darker, grittier, more real feeling Star Wars world. And so like they pounded that in the talking points. They literally are controlling the talking points in interviews. For The Last Jedi, the talking points are, "This is not what you expect." And it, like, even Mark Hamill has had these interviews where he talks about, hey, the first time he read the script and he was like, he couldn't believe what Rian Johnson wrote. People are not going to expect this. I read an interview with Adam Driver and he says, the thing is people are not going to expect this movie. And it's funny. You start looking for it and you're like, oh, wow. It's this narrative that they were all told in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'd like to think there's authenticity there, that truly it's a surprising script. And I think if anyone's writing that, it's Rian Johnson. But make no mistake that was the theme of this marketing is The Last Jedi. You're going to be in for something you don't expect. Like, that's right. The theme.
And so why do you think that's the theme? Why do you think they're pushing that message so
Because
hard?
What happened in The Empire Strikes Back? One of the biggest reveals in movie history. Mm-hmm. Luke, I am your father. Nobody expected that, right? Look, it's poetry. With The Last Jedi, they want to give you the feeling that people got with The Empire Strikes Back, which is some, whether it's a big reveal or this idea of this is not what you're going to expect. No one expected Darth Vader to be Luke Skywalker's father. And so I think that's why.
I think that's definitely, I think I could definitely see that being a reason. My number one motivation, what I think is the biggest criticism of Episode 7 was that it was just a retelling of A New Hope.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what we expected.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
So I think that this is pushback from Disney trying to sell this. What do they even have to sell, really? What do they have to sell? I think they're selling this idea that don't go into this expecting Empire Strikes Back.
You're 100% right. That's on the money. Because the whole practical effects thing in The Force Awakens was, the reaction to the fan reaction of the prequels and other and general cinema that's way over CGI'd.
Right.
The fact we got Starkiller Base, which was another Death Star, we got, all of these similar storylines in A New Hope. It's interesting, though, that Disney would be like, okay, this is going to be our knee-jerk reaction to that outcry, is we're going to give you something you don't expect. Yet if you really look for it, I mean, I see a Hoth sequence some parental component here that's going to happen. I see a showdown between the bad guy and the good guy, or in this case, girl. I don't think it'll be nearly as similar to Empire Strikes Back as Force Awakens was to A New Hope. But I also wonder how different really will it be? Like, are we really going to, like... And maybe after we do the frame by frame here, you can answer this question for me, which is, what don't you expect? What's something, what is something that they would do that you would never guess they would do or think that they would have the guts to do? Like, I want to know, like, what's your crazy scenario where it's like, they would never, like, if they did this, I would be blown away.
Sure. Yeah.
I want you to think about that. We'll get back to that. But let's just launch right into this thing. We start this trailer with the shot of Kylo Ren standing, looking out what appears to be like this First Order kind of docking bay that has all of this, all these vehicles, the new AT-ATs, which are these gorilla walkers, which is in the next shot here where you see these things walking. Those things look awfully big and sturdy.
Oh, yeah.
Also, still susceptible to the harpoon harpoon lasso takedown.
I hope that they're not. I hope there's a kickstand involved.
Oh, dude.
Dude, that would really solve a lot of that.
I would be very disappointed if a ship just comes down and just deploys a cable and just wraps right around one of those things. They're like, why didn't we think of this? So we're getting voiceover here from... Supreme Leader Snoke, voiced by Andy Serkis, saying, "When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special." So he's saying that over the shots of Kylo Ren, there is one of my favorite, at least artistically, the shots of the trailer comes in this kind of bird's eye view shot of Kylo in front of this group of stormtroopers. You can tell by the ground, they're on the same planet that those big gorilla walkers on. This is a planet called Crait. It's C-R-A-I-T. This was like, I've learned this from some of the comics that Disney's been releasing that are part of the canon. Crait was an actual base from the Rebellion from decades ago that was abandoned. And at some point, and I don't know the circumstances of which this happens, the Resistance has to go, you know, kind of reoccupy this base on Crait. Now, Crait has this red salt or kind of some sort of substance beneath the kind of white salt, where if you kick it up, you get this really red powder, this kind of smoke-looking thing, which it appears that the resistance uses to their benefit when trying to kind of attack these.
Oh, is that's when they're dragging across.
They're dragging the thing to kick up all that smoke, which I'm going to be interested to see. But anyway, in that bird's eye shot of Kylo Ren with these stormtroopers, with these, they have these flashlights on their guns, you know, because you can see kind of this light coming out. You can see on the ground there that there's these kind of streaks of red, right? So they're on that planet. Of what happens there, I don't know. And the next couple of shots, you get Kylo Ren reaching down, picking up his saber. There is a ton of red going on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's the main color of the film, but is Ryan overdoing the red here? Is this?
I think he might be overplaying his hand. it's a little blatant. And maybe, you know, maybe they just picked the shots that were extremely red for this trailer, but it seems like they may be overdoing it just a little bit.
Are you?
Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. Even to the point that, like, the new poster, which Skylar wasn't a big fan of because it's just primarily red. It's really saturated.
Yeah.
What do you think of the new poster, by the way?
I think it's great. I thought it's one of the cooler ones.
Yeah, I liked it too. I liked it.
But I think it's totally cool. If I like Star Wars, I would totally buy that poster.
All right, so now we switch to Rey. Okay, Rey is on this isolated island planet called Octu, and we're expecting a training montage of some kind, right? I mean.
Oh, of course.
That's
my question to you is, how long do you think that training goes on for?
Yeah, it's a good question. Do we want to go into spoiler territory of what we think may happen?
It's just speculation, unless you know something.
I guess it's speculation, but we have been known to get tips and hints from very reliable sources here.
I think this is a good time to drop one, if you have one.
I do have one. I may have mentioned this in the past. Well, first off, to answer your question, I don't know exactly how long. Okay, we clearly in this trailer we have a grumpy Luke who's like not interested in training her at first, probably because he's just jaded, and then we get the line later about her power, which I'll talk about in a sec. There's a lot of questions about whether or not Luke gets off that island in this movie. You know, I have a hard time. I don't believe Rey and Luke are both there the whole time. We see Rey somewhere else later in the trailer, so we know that she gets off, but we don't see Luke anywhere else. And so there's a big question about that. Now, I will say that there is going to be an incident on this island where they have some visitors. Kylo Ren finds out where they are, and he shows up with some people. I don't know who the people are. They could be the Knights of Ren. They could be these red Praetorian guards that have been released in the merchandising, these toys, the people that guard Snoke. But he's with a crew, okay? And they come to the island. Now, the aftermath of that altercation, when that happens in the movie even, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But let's just say that I think we are going to see the Luke goes full Jedi sequence that we've been wanting since we were kids.
All right.
Let's just say Kylo makes it off that island, but his friends don't. That's all I know.
Okay, good. That's not really that much of a spoiler.
Not too much. Yeah. A little bit of a spoiler, the fact that we know Kylo's going to get out there, and that his friends are going to have a bad time.
Well, I mean, if they're going up against the most powerful young Jedi that Luke has ever seen...
That's true.
That would make sense.
Well, are you talking about Rey?
But is she?
Is she more powerful than Kylo? He compares them.
Yeah, he does compare them.
So,
well, that's what we think, right?
So we get into Rey's dialogue here, because I want to make sure I read all the dialogue in this actual trailer. She says, "Something inside me has always been there. Then I was awake." That's callback to The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, "Then I was awake and I need help," right? Simple enough. She starts meditating. She starts breaking ground. Look, cracks in the island. Luke's not having any of that. Then we get that scene where he says, "I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. it does now. He is freaked out. Now, I should say there's a couple really cool shots in this trailer leading up, you know, to him saying that. There's this cool smoky shot of her walking up these steps to what I believe is a Jedi temple. If you remember in The Empire Strikes Back, in Luke's training with Yoda, he had to go into that like tree cave thing where he had to confront Vader. Mm-hmm. She will do something similar is my prediction here. And her walking up in those kind of smoky area is, I think, her way up to the temple to have that experience where Dagobah didn't have a temple. Kind of Yoda had to, you know, make do with what he had. She's actually going to go in there and face her fears. And then you also get this shot of Luke's bookcase that has got just is immaculately kept, and he's got the perfect light shining right down on it. Luke has been on this island for about 2 years, so he's had 2 years to make sure that bookshelf is like looking good, which it does.
My question is, where does he find an IKEA on that island?
Dude, that's, yeah. Well, where do you think all the porgs work? Porgs got to work somewhere.
So now you mentioned the porgs.
Yeah.
Let's pat ourselves on the back here because.
Yes. Look, we broke this news. We told you 1 year ago, Aaron, mm-hmm. 1 year ago, I said there's going to be a bird-like creature. I don't know what they're called. It'd be look kind of like a puffin, but they're going to be they're inhabitants of this island that Luke lives on. And I knew Chewie would have some interaction with them, and that there were these puffin looking things.
Here's where we cut the pod and we splice in that original clip of you saying all this.
Oh yeah. I don't even know what episode it was on. I wish I could splice that in, but seriously, those loyal listeners, the pod. No,
yeah,
we were dropping knowledge bombs over a year ago about porgs. It's now they're there, and now people think they're the new Ewoks. Look, I'm Team Porg. You are not.
No, I. You know, we talked about what the best scene in the trailer is. Can I say the most embarrassing scene?
The scene where Kylo kills his mom. No.
Well, we don't even know that.
No, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. But the most embarrassing scene for me is the Chewie scream and then the Porg also scream. Yeah. I mean, I almost shut my browser when I saw that.
Look, from what I understand,
so bad.
The porgs were 100% Rian Johnson's creation.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me?
No.
It begs the question of if, you know, how much Disney mandates the inclusion of certain things for merchandising. Now, I do think the porgs will play a little bit of... I think this will be a really dark film for Star Wars standards. Okay, Star Wars standards dark. Which I guess the darkest would right now at this point would be Revenge of the Sith.
I was just going to ask you, is Revenge of the Sith is
the darkest? Yeah, that would be considered the darkest. Yeah. I think this will be darker. I think Rian Johnson knew that, you know, he still has a younger audience that's going to be coming out to see this. And right. That this was his little, not just comic relief, but to lighten it a little bit. But the rest of this is going to be pretty dark. So back to Hamill, giving us some really good acting, saying that he's afraid. Now, this storyline isn't exactly original, right? The old master not wanting to train the, you know, the up-and-comer and being kind of the reluctant trainer, right? So we see him talking about how he's seen this raw strength only once before. So when you heard that line, who did you think of? Who was he referring to?
So initially, I thought that he was talking about Kylo Ren. But then upon subsequent viewings, I'm thinking he's talking about Darth Vader.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I still think Kylo Ren, only because they shoot to the aftermath of his, you know, Jedi Academy in flames when, you know, Kylo Ren killed.
Well, they want you to believe that it's Kylo Ren.
Yeah, that right, which could be a misdirect.
I think it is.
So this is misdirect number one.
I think this is the first misdirect in the entire trailer. It's coming right here.
I would love the idea that he's referring to Vader. But, like, I guess what raw strength did he encounter in Vader? I guess when he had his two saber fights with him?
Sure. And also he forced Obi-Wan to pass over because he was going to kill him in the saber battle.
Oh, that's
raw
right.
strength right there.
That's right.
So that's the raw strength, I'm thinking.
So in the trailer, they definitely want you to think they're talking about Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. But the trailer's also constructed to be the kind of two sides of the same coin, or the story of Kylo and the story of Rey, right? The dark and the light. So we cut to the scene after we see him kind of getting out of the the force flashback, I'm assuming, which, again, we don't do flashbacks in Star Wars. They never do. The first thing we got remotely like that was Rey's experience touching the saber in Maz's castle. We got that force flashback. Well, we see here we're going to get it again, and I wonder how that's going to be channeled. And I wonder if it's part of Rey's experience in the Jedi Temple. That's my best guess. She goes in that Jedi Temple, and she's gonna see stuff, and she's going to see what Luke went through. And I think it's going to be her moment where she understands why he is the way he is. And then she'll be able to know how to kind of properly motivate him.
So who do you think she's facing off in that temple? You know, who's her nemesis in there?
So let's jump to the final scene of this trailer to answer that question. So this was the big moment of the trailer, I'm fine going out of order because I think it's a great question. But she asked that question, or she says, "I need someone." And there's a big pause. She says, "To show me my place in all of this." Okay. Then it cuts to Kylo and he puts his hand out. And this idea like, oh no, earlier in the trailer we saw that like Luke didn't want to train her. So she goes to Kylo and she's going to go to the dark side. Like, let's just put that to rest. She's not going to the dark side. That's never happening.
No.
And so when I first saw the trailer, I thought for sure this was another misdirect. That shot of Kylo was nowhere near the scene where she's saying, "I need someone to show me my place in all of this." Like, that she's nowhere over there. In fact, B-Mort was tweeting out about how the light on her face wasn't the same as the light on his face. But you know what? The more I watch it, no. They're both in this scene where there's kind of this weird volcanic ember around them.
Right.
And honestly, I believe they're in the Jedi Temple. I believe she's on the island. I believe that's who she's facing off. And part of it is because his scar in that scene is not the same as in the rest of the trailer. Because the bandage, he's got this very distinct checkered bandage.
Yeah, my question is, in Star Wars, they don't have skin tone band-aids? He has to get a piece of rubber on his face?
It looks weird.
It looks really bad.
I'm curious to see why they had such a weird looking checkered band-aid, because it looks like it looks weird. So I'm withholding judgment until, you know, maybe it's some sort of special. I don't know what it would be, but he has that thing in most of the trailer, and then you see that shot there, and he doesn't anymore, and his scar looks quite a bit different. You could argue maybe it's the end of the movie, and a lot's happened since he had that bandage. That's definitely possible, but I just think that she's in the Jedi Temple and she's having this like kind of hallucinatory experience that will include a flashback to Luke and the Jedi Academy. She'll see the whole history of that, what's going on. And then she'll have that run-in with Kylo, just like how Luke had that run-in with Vader when he breaks his mask off and it's Luke inside, right?
Right.
All right. So we go to, speaking of Kylo, the next shot in the trailer, if we rewind, we see Kylo with his mask and then he smashes it. Mm-hmm. My question for you, does he smash that thing for good?
I think that he does. He's done with the masks. He's beyond that. He's evolved. He doesn't need it anymore. And the mask is his emulating his hero, right? Darth yeah. Vader. So,
but Darth had an actual practical purpose.
Right, exactly. So his mask means nothing to him anymore. This is him coming out of his shell, basically. Mm. So that's why he smashes the mask. He doesn't need it anymore. He's done with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I went back and forth on this. I actually kind of like the design of the mask. It took some getting used to, but I'm a big fan of it. I mean, those of you watching the video version of this know, big fan. So I just now, got the voice modulator and everything. Literally, that's what I am. I'm going to this adult Halloween party on Friday. That sounds weird saying adult Halloween party. It's a Halloween party. And,
swinger party is what it is. It's a key party. So
I'm going to be going as Kylo Ren. But look, yeah, I invest a lot in this mask. If he's ditching the mask for good, I can't pull off the Adam Driver look. I just don't look anything like him.
What you're going to have to do is really sell out for the bit and break the mask. You're going to have to smash it up.
All right. See, that's what I'm afraid of. I think it was $80.
It's worth it, though. I think it's worth it.
So we see throughout the rest of the trailer, he's not wearing the mask. And from reports that I've heard from people on set indicate that most of the shots in which they've seen Adam Driver as Kylo Ren, he's not wearing the mask. So I'm thinking pretty early on in the movie, he throws a little hissy fit, a little tantrum, breaks the mask, and he goes without the mask for the rest of it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Which we see him next, without the mask, flying in what I think is so, super bad A. His tie silencer. One of my favorite like CGI shots of this is he comes spinning over this resistance ship. It, you know, obviously he's an ace pilot because of his father, I guess. That's the whole, the idea that, you know, he learned, you know, how to be a pilot from Han. But we see the shot of him coming over this resistance ship and then kind of going inside. And then an effective shot that looks like it's targeting like the captain's bay, you know, of the ship. And then it, then we see the shots of what I'm pretty sure it's not CGI Carrie. This is real Carrie. No, it's Carrie Fisher. We see the shots of her looking concerned. We see the shot of him putting his finger on this button and then him looking very emotional. And this idea of like, he killed his dad, but can he kill his mom? And also this whole idea of like, is it's harder to kill your mom than probably to kill your dad, I think, is this thing they're, you know, the idea of a mother. My question to you now is, does Kylo in the movie pull that trigger?
Oh, of course not. That's not even, I think this is a false premise, because I don't think that he ever targets her. I don't think
Oh, so you think it's a misdirect altogether?
Yeah, it's a total misdirect.
But they
misdirect.
Have the map thing that shows the, you, oh wow, so you think it was just really cut together?
Yeah, I really do. I think this is, it's way too on the nose. I mean, we saw that he killed his dad in the first one, or in his first story. So now he's going to kill his mom in the next one. I think it's way too on the nose.
I agree. It would be really, it would be really odd and unsatisfying end for both of those characters.
So I truly hope that they do not go down that avenue. And I think that we're being sold a bill of goods if we believe that. So I don't believe this part of the trailer that he's targeting her.
I kind of like Adam Driver's acting in that scene where he looks really pained, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have his voiceover, which I'll read here. Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be. Now, I'm not sure if this was him talking to himself in the mirror or to the mask.
It sounds like he's reading lyrics to an emo song.
This was, this is Good Charlotte or Simple Plan. Yeah. this is, maybe it's like a census fail, like a real, you know.
Yeah. No, it's Taking Back Sunday. It's Taking Back Sunday, for sure.
Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. That's the only way.
It totally works.
Totally works. Absolutely. Look, I'm going to, all the lyrics of this trailer, I'm going to write into a song. It's going to be, it's going to be a huge hit. So he says these lyrics, you see this shot. This totally could be misdirect. I will say, I think he pulls that trigger.
Okay.
I don't think Leia dies.
Ooh, interesting.
I think he attacks the ship. I don't know if there's going to be a moment like that, though, in the movie where it's like this whole, like, I'm going to kill my mom. But I don't think she dies, which I'm familiar, at least, that there, that, again, this is going to get into spoiler territory. Some of this is speculative, some of this is knowledge. But Leia gets injured in this film because her ship takes a hit. Now, I don't know if that's a hit from Kylo.
Yeah.
But she's going to be out. Now, of course, Carrie Fisher ended up dying in real life. And so how they end her character in the actual movie is going to be really interesting.
Right.
Because she's not going to be a 9. So that'll, yeah, we'll see.
I think what we're going to find here, like if I could just do an off the wall guess here. Please. I know we're supposed to save this to the end, but this just came to me. Chewie and the Porzingis thing.
They're gonna
kamikaze into Leia's ship, and they're gonna bring it down. They're gonna take it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So little Porzingis
he's the Latvian gangbanger, the 7-foot Latvian
Puffin Porg, is what he
Porzingis. That's my goodness. That's hilarious. Could you imagine? Well, do you think the reason why Chewie would suicide in because she didn't give him a hug at the end of A Force Awakens after Han dies? Did you notice that? There was controversy around this. They get back after Han dies, and she goes, Leia hugs Rey first, someone who she just met that day, and totally bypasses Chewie, who walks right by her.
Well, she blames him because he had a life debt, and he
didn't. Oh, that's true.
He didn't protect Han.
Oh, so she blames him. Oh, no. Life debt. Uh-oh. And so maybe Chewie gets preemptive here and is like, I'm going to take her out before she can take me.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the Porg, Porzingis the Porg. That's cheese.
That's just my off-the-wall prediction. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm feeling pretty good about that one.
All right, all right. Well, moving on to the trailer, we get a shot of the Millennium Falcon flying, which I can't help but feel sadness every time I see because I know Han is not piloting it.
Exactly.
I know that it's Porzingis and Chewbacca. and then we cut to Poe Dameron. Now, this to me is probably one of the weakest parts of the trailer. And I am like a big fan of Oscar Isaac. It's no secret on this pod. Those who have listened. Also, I really like the character of Poe Dameron. And, you know, I talked about the helmet, you know, Kylo Ren.
Well, right.
I've got myself a Poe. Those watching the video, I've got the Poe helmet as well. That's, you know, directly from this trailer. I'm a huge fan of Poe Dameron.
You do have the Poe helmet.
Best X-Men pilot in the galaxy.
He really is. He's the best. Now, I think you went a little overboard with the brown face. Didn't need to do that just because you love him so much.
Are Guatemalans a little bit okay. I see.
Yeah, no, they're definitely. And I think you went a little overboard with the makeup there. If I
That's
do
the problem
say
with
so
being Oscar Isaac for Halloween. You can't do it without brown face, and I know it's not okay.
I mean, I can.
Well,
I'm allowed to.
See, that's the thing. You can. I can't. Yeah. I can't. So this is my thing about Poe Dameron. I hope that they do something interesting. He got the short end. I hope they do something interesting with this character. He got the short end of the stick in The Force Awakens. They really didn't explore him all that much. You got a heck of an actor, and I just don't want him to be this kind of Johnny B. Good or Johnny on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Always like I realize that they don't have the time to get into real depth and whatnot, but like his line isn't encouraging, which is "We are the spark that will light the fire that will burn the First Order down." It's like I know it's meant to be inspiring, and in the trailer it kind of is, but if you really read it, it's like. It reminds me of Fran Fraschilla, the NBA draft expert on ESPN, several years ago was famous for this line about this player in Brazil, about how he was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Nice.
And it was this funny line. And it's almost like, we are the spark that will light the fire, that will burn the first... What? Like, why don't you burn the First Order down?
Yeah,
like, what is this? You're the spark? That's we need a little really more than bad. A spark, Poe.
Yeah, I worry that this movie, especially this one, there's just too many storylines.
And we're introducing
too many
new
characters. Yeah, I'm very concerned about that. And unless the movie is like 3 hours long, someone is going to be given they're going to do a disservice to some character.
Yeah.
At least. Well, and I have a feeling that there are two characters that are going to get the short end of the stick, and we know who they are.
Uh-oh. It's the two characters of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or three. We've got Rose now.
Right, exactly. No, you're correct. You are correct, sir.
So, which is not in this trailer.
No.
But
I will say she's my favorite character. I've seen one still image of her, and she's my absolute favorite character.
All we know is that she's a maintenance worker for the Resistance. Now, this is what's interesting. I was going to go over the things that we don't see in this trailer. I'll just point that out right now. Finn and Rose go on a mission in this movie. We don't see one frame from that mission other than one of Finn, what looks like him being like, I don't know, you don't see handcuffs, but it looks like he's caught in wearing a First Order. We know he's in disguise as a First Order officer.
Right.
But earlier in this film, again, we don't get any of this stuff. There is this plot where Finn and Rose are sent to this planet called Canto Bight. The way that Rian Johnson describes it is, you know, if there was Monte Carlo in the Star Wars universe, what would that look like? So it's this kind of ritzy, you know, this casino where they go looking for this character named DJ, played by Benicio del Toro, who is what's known as a slicer, which is essentially a hacker. Okay. So they need for some reason, the Resistance needs this like world renowned slicer who is no friend of the Resistance or the First Order, very neutral character, and Maz Kanata is the one that tells them, you got to get this guy DJ. We don't see DJ in this trailer. We don't see Benicio del Toro. We don't see any of the sequence in Canto Bight, and we know that there's some fireworks that go down in Canto Bight, and there's this huge chase sequence. They filmed this in Dubrovnik. We know this because a lot of it was captured on drones and other cams. It was hard for them to kind of cover it all. But there's a lot. I mean, it's a substantial storyline, and we don't get one frame in this trailer of it. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. I take back what I said about Rose. My favorite character is DJ. DJ the hacker. instantly, just hearing you talk about him, I instantly want a standalone DJ the Hacker movie.
Dude, we totally could get one. Why not?
I'm ready for it.
Why not? Well, next shot of the trailer, we see Finn. It looks like we're going to get a mano-a-mano with Captain Phasma.
Oh, yeah.
Who escaped the trash compactor, apparently. So he takes a big swipe at her. We get one token BB-8 shot of him getting zapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then right back to Octu, the island, where one of my favorite parts in the trailer, and the theme of all the marketing and all of this from Luke, this is not going to go how you think. Now, or is that the exact line? This is not going to go the way you think is the exact line. What's interesting about that, other than the fact that that's the theme of all this, is that I think it's that's a fascinating angle, because Luke was, look, at the end of Return of the Jedi, it was all gravy, right? He turns and waves at the Force ghosts. Mm-hmm. He saved the day. He's going to go start his little Jedi Academy. Everything's great. And you know what? Things didn't go the way he thought they'd go. And that's kind of his way of, kind of, I don't know if he's trying to dissuade Rey or just like bring her spirits down, but this is a freaking grumpy Luke. Really grumpy. We get a quick shot of the ice doggo or the Arctic pupper. and then cut to a scene of Leia wearing what seems to be a pretty impractical collar. my guess here, I'd read that some people think this is her, you know, on that planet Crait where those gorilla walkers are, they're about to get attacked, right? Honestly, I think Leia doesn't wear that type of regalia, like that. This kind of nice gown. I think she's at Han's funeral.
Oh, interesting.
I think I'm willing to bet, again, this is just a guess, I'm willing to bet there's this moment towards the beginning of the film where there's a procession on Corellia of his home planet. And I think this is why she's wearing that, because Leia doesn't wear that stuff.
No, that's a great pull. I like that. I'm gonna go with you on that one.
We're coming up on our hour, so I'm gonna breeze through the rest of this. We talked about Finn, that shot of him in captivity, and then we get what I think is pretty exciting: the first in the flesh shot of Supreme Leader Snoke, not this giant hologram, but an actual shot. Now he's a CGI character. My question to you is: what are your first impressions? What do you think of the way Snoke looks?
He looks great. He looks very imposing and scary and frightening, and he looks like a monster. So I think that it's very promising, the first images of him.
I'm really excited.
In physical form. So
then we see, you know, so he says to her, he says the line, "Fulfill your destiny." And then we see the shot of an anguished Rey with what looks like some sort of force thing being, you know, she's kind of like leaning backwards, obviously in anguish. What's interesting here is, how on earth does Rey come into contact with Snoke in this film, unless it's something similar to The Force Awakens, where she's captured by, you know, Kylo Ren kidnaps her, you know, and she takes her to Starkiller Base in The Force Awakens. I doubt they're going to do something similar again. I mean, she's training now. She's not going to be the damsel in distress. But, like, she's clearly kind of in his throne room. You can see in the background of that shot the gold robe that is Snoke. Why would she have a run-in with Snoke in this way? Like, this is intriguing to me.
It's very intriguing. So many possibilities. I mean, that could be literally the last shot of the movie. We don't know.
Oh yeah, totally could be. That would be really crazy.
I think it would be awesome. That, talk about a cliffhanger. That would be it. But I don't think they'd give that away in the very first trailer.
That would be. Imagine if they'd done that last shot of Luke. If that would have been, by the way, such a terrible, terrible thing to do if that last shot of Luke was used in the marketing.
Oh man!
And we didn't know it was the final shot.
Guarantee you somebody was pushing for it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to get Luke in the trailer. You've got people want to see Luke. J.J. Abrams probably had to fight so hard against that.
I hope that he's waging that.
I think
that
he only won because it's the final shot of the film.
Right, exactly. You can't spoil that. Yeah.
So the last scene we already talked about, the scene where Rey says, "I need someone to show me my place in all of this," which is really fascinating theme. Again, I think this is in a Jedi temple. Maybe her running with Snoke is there too, though I doubt it. That actually looks a little bit more practical. Where this scene with Kylo, if you look around, it definitely looks like they're in some sort of fantastical environment. Mm-hmm. So I was going to bring up the things that we don't see. We don't hear Leia talking. It makes me wonder how much Leia is actually in this movie. they talked about 9 being the Leia movie, which meant I wonder if she was scaled back as well in 8. We don't see Rose, or we don't. I talked about the Canto Bight stuff, the DJ. We also don't see one of the Vice Admiral in the Resistance. Vice Admiral Holdo is played by Laura Dern, who, although she's in the Resistance, is supposed to be a pretty antagonistic character, especially with Poe Dameron. They butt heads, let's put it that way. She's not in the trailer. Also, where's my man 3PO?
Zero 3PO.
No 3PO.
Not even one frame of 3PO.
We got a tiny, tiny little bit of R2, but like that was just from that flashback. Tiny bit of R2. So I had questions for you. I mostly asked them throughout the our little breakdown there, which was like, I want to know your favorite moment. I want to know if you thought Kylo was going to pull the trigger, if he smashes his helmet for good, your thoughts on Snoke, and kind of Rey's interaction with him. And also, is the end scene a misdirect?
Man, it's. I think that it is, just because of the nature of it's being the first official trailer. I hope that it is a misdirect. You know, there's so many ways that they could cut a first trailer like this, and I think they did an okay job. Yeah. I think they could have done a much worse job.
I agree.
So I'm grateful that it wasn't worse than it was.
Yeah.
Than it turned out to be, and I think we saw some stuff from Rian Johnson on Twitter saying that. If you don't want spoilers, don't watch the trailers. Basically is what he was saying, because they're gonna give a lot of it away.
And then he tweeted, "Ignore everything I ever said. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it." Which is result of a phone call from Bob Iger.
Probably several.
Hello, Ryan. This is Bob. I appreciate it if you didn't encourage people to avoid our marketing materials. Thank you.
Okay, so now that the movie's been finished, can he still be fired?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, it's been a tumultuous behind the scenes for Lucasfilm for a lot of these films, except The Force Awakens and especially The Last Jedi. This one was smooth sailing by all accounts, so much so that Rian Johnson literally wrapped this film, not just wrapped the first edit, and they're waiting for visual effects and stuff. No, visual effects are done. The score is done. It is completely locked and loaded. And he had that 2.5 months before the release date. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah, it's incredible.
They're usually doing visual effects like right up to the last moment. And the reason why visual effects take a long time for a lot. It's very labor intensive. But often because a cut of a film is constantly changing, and people working in visual effects have to scrap work or restart or what, you know, like Howard Shore famously got upset with Peter Jackson because he would score parts of the films for The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and then Peter Jackson would tinker with the edits and change it all up, and he'd have to rescore it, right? It's a living, breathing, moving, it's a moving target is what it is. And so the fact that they finished this much ahead of time tells me one thing especially, and that's Rian Johnson had a vision. It was specific. And he accomplished it, and then he was done. He didn't. There was no going. There wasn't like hemming and hawing and tinkering. Like, nah, he did exactly what he wanted to do. He had the shots ready. It was very well planned out. And I bet the visual effects people love him.
Yeah, I think that without a doubt, they went into this prepared, probably more than any other movie that they've ever worked on, and which is great. I mean, like you said, they had plenty of time to work to tweak anything in the post that they needed to. Obviously, they had more than enough time. My concern here is that, Ryan's a great director, and I've talked about this before. We just don't know how much rope he was given. He's sticking up for Disney and saying that they gave him as much rope as he wanted. Anything that he wanted, they gave it to him. But I just can't shake this feeling that we're getting a safe movie from him.
But that those reports always get out if there were issues. It obviously got out with Colin Trevorrow. It got out with Gareth Edwards. It got out obviously with the Phil Lord and Chris Miller. We haven't had a peep, not one inside source saying that there was any level of a short lease or major disagreements. Or like we get that throughout the process. We never got that.
Right. This is true, which is very encouraging. But if you take a look at the persona that Rian Johnson has, he seems kind of like a pushover, if I'm being honest. So I don't know what he's like on set.
He does seem like a very mild-mannered you know, soft-spoken individual.
Extremely.
But, which, yeah, no, his public persona is very much like that. But yeah. I've read a lot of reports from other films he's been on that he is almost maniacal in keeping to his vision of what he wants to do, like almost uncompromising. That's it's great. Interesting because it's rarely do you not, because you look at Tarantino and he's an eccentric individual in interviews mm-hmm. and on set, and you could see how could be difficult to work with too. But yeah, you look at Rian Johnson, he just seems like this very, very nice, polite, and you're like, how can you run a set? Well, I hear that the guy has like a serious vision and sticks to it.
That's great because he seems extremely low key and low energy, if we're being honest.
No, he gives off some low energy Jeb vibes for sure.
Yeah, low energy Rian. The trailer's great. I have high hopes. I'm excited for this. I do have some concerns, obviously, but I think that it's on the right track. From everything that I've seen, it looks like it's on the right track.
So this one has the potential to be your favorite of the Disney Star Wars films?
Oh, for sure. I think it's going to be more entertaining.
Does it have potential to be your favorite Star Wars film of all time?
The potential is there. All the ingredients are there.
Okay. I guess it always has the potential until you see it, but the ingredients are there.
I think the ingredients are there.
And which one is your favorite?
I'd say probably Empire is the one that I'll watch the most, mm-hmm. that I'll go back and watch again. But I do love some Revenge of the Sith.
Hey, look, it's the best of the three prequel ones. You and I did a whole pod on it.
right? But it's so bad. It's really, really, really bad.
Well, I'm excited to see this. The tickets went on sale. I'm going to be in Japan when it comes out, and there's no pre-sale for theaters in Japan. So I'm freaking out a little bit that I'm not going to be able to like I'm scared I'm going to get to the theater in Japan and they're going to laugh at me because they're like, yeah, this is sold out for like days. the good news is Japan's like a day ahead of time, so I might be able to see a whole day early. So
that is pretty awesome.
Open. All right, dude, any other last thoughts on this Last Jedi trailer?
No, I think we covered it all. I think I just don't, those porgs, the Porzingises, I am not a fan. So.
Yeah, well, I'll leave you with this thought. The question I'd asked you earlier about what can they possibly do in this film, you know, that would really shock you, the thing that you wouldn't expect. For me, it's simply, you know, Kylo going to the light side and Rey going to the dark. Switch positions. They're absolutely not going to do it.
I hope not.
There's no way they would do it. If they did that, boy, that would deliver on the promise of doing something I would not expect.
And if we're going to take a wild guess, I would say the one thing that would totally shock me, and I would hate it if this happens, mm-hmm. if we only get like 15 minutes of Luke. I mean, if that happens,
it's a real possibility.
And you're right, it is a possibility, and I hope that it doesn't happen.
I'm already bummed that we didn't get a shot of Luke and Han together. We got no scenes, and that always kind of bummed me out. So my big fear here is no Luke and Leia, and the fact that we have still no hint or trace of Luke getting off that island in this film, and having a reunion with Leia.
It's worrisome, man.
It's gonna be heartbreaking if that reunion didn't happen and now Carrie's gone. Now, there was this famous Vanity Fair photo shoot on the set where it shows them two like in the Resistance base together, but that's just for the sake of the photo shoot. It has nothing to do with the plot line, so
it
was just kind of a tease. But if we only get 15 minutes of him and he doesn't see Leia, boy, am I going to be let down. That would be really, really bad. I really hope he gets off that island, and I really hope he gets back into the action.
Yeah, I hope you're right, and obviously we are Luke Skywalker fanboys, so he's our favorite. So,
final question for you: does Luke survive this movie?
No, there's no way he survives.
So Han dies in the first one. Luke and Leia will go in the second.
I think so. Well, I think the plan was kill Leia in the third one.
That was the plan.
Obviously, didn't work out that way. But yeah, Luke goes in this one, no doubt in my mind.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Awesome. Well, there you go. That was pretty neat.
I just hope he takes a few dozen Porzingises with him.
Dude, you got to call it Porzingis forever. If they kill one porg in this movie, I'm going to be pissed. I'm totally team porgs. Love them. Can't have enough.
I hope that Chewie bites the head off of one.
Well, there is this image of
of Chewie with these pork feathers coming out of his mouth, and there's a lot of debate about whether Chewie ate a pork or not in the movie before he befriends them.
Oh, please. Please eat a pork.
We will see.
Chewie, please.
Eat a Porzingis. All right, man. You got anything else, or is that it?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, that's our show. And as we say,
hold on to your butts. Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.